Uneasy Lies the Head at 10 Downing by Patrick E. Tyler. Owned and since becoming Prime Minister in 1997, Tony Blair has proven the most successful and popular Labour leader of the last century, yet there are whispers in his own party that he could be out of office by Easter. If Blair is out next week, there probably won't be any tears outside his family because it is a ruthless system, and it's the way the system works, said Ian McLean, professor of politics at Oxford University. Whatever it is about British politics and the parliamentary system that deliver abrupt and surprising reversals of political fortune seems to be at work again. Mr. Blair has proved nimble at brilliant reinventions in the past, but the question remains, can he outrun British democracy's penchant for fatigue, which has sometimes claimed leaders at the most surprising times? In May 1945, Winston Churchill was at the apex of power after Germany's surrender. And with Franklin Roosevelt's death a month before, Mr. Churchill was the West's icon of Allied victory. Yet before the month was out, he was forced to resign as Prime Minister, and the Labour Party soon swept into office under Clement Attlee. In 1990, Margaret Thatcher suffered dissimilar indignity after winning three terms for her party, presiding with Ronald Reagan at the burial of communism in Europe, and privatizing much of the British economy. In August she was telling the first President Bush, with Churchillian verve, not to go wobbly in the face of Saddam Hussein invasion of Kuwait. But by November she was political toast, overthrown by Tory rebels, and replaced by John Major. I was visiting at Stanford University in 1990 and my colleagues had no idea that Mrs. Thatcher was teetering, said Professor McLean. It was Thanksgiving. So there was no one around to explain, he added. So I was briefly a pundit. Like Churchill and Lady Thatcher, before him, Mr. Blair has set records for longevity and led his nation into war. He returned the Labour Party to a prominence it had not enjoyed in 101 years, with two landslide victories. Large Labour majorities took control of the House of Commons, and almost every city, town, and Shire overturned the Tory supremacy in British life. But his war leadership in Iraq has made him deeply unpopular with a large segment of the public, even though opinion polls still show that a plurality of Britons back his decision to go to war to remove Mr. Hussein. This rising vulnerability has emboldened discontented rebels in his own party, many of whom have been passed over or thrown out of ministerial posts. Others simply see Mr. Blair's pragmatic and centrist policies as pandering to big business and middle-class Tory constituencies. And his close alliance with President George W. Bush has added to that unpopularity. On Wednesday, the prominent jurist Lord Hutton will render his judgment on whether Mr. Blair misled the public on the threat from Iraq, and whether the Prime Minister's aide suborned the intelligence agencies to exaggerate evidence, or contributed to the circumstances that led a prominent weapon scientist, David Kelly, to commit suicide. Whether Mr. Blair is vindicated or excoriated in the verdict, his leadership is sure to be tested this week by the debates that are certain to follow and by Parliament's vote on another issue, a controversial plan to reapportion the costs of university education. Few American presidents, except perhaps Richard Nixon, when he realized Congress had the votes and the will to impeach him, experienced the slippery slope of untimed political collapse. The fixed terms of American politics may not be a superior form of democracy, but terms do create predictability and order. Nixon was really the exception in American politics, and it was really traumatic, said David Holloway, an Irish-born political scientist who now teaches history at Stanford. In the American system, the president is chief executive and head of state, he adds, creating an almost imperial aura around the office. You don't get that with a prime minister, he said. Changing the prime minister is something you can talk about in Britain, and it is not a national crisis. Still, in Britain, there is something Darwinian about it all, as if the prime minister is selected for extinction on the day of his election, because even a popular leader will suffer the teeth marks and scratches of legislative struggles, cabinetry shuffles, and press strafing. All of which add up to political death by 1,000 cuts. Professor Vernon Bogdaner, who teaches politics and government at Oxford, calls it the unpredictable shelf life of a prime minister. The sort of events that lead to the collapse of governments are usually unforeseen, and they can cause shifts in public opinion very rapidly, he said. For Edward Heath, a Tory who was prime minister from 1970 to 1974, the increase in oil prices, in 1973 emboldened striking coal miners and hastened economic calamity, Professor Bogdaner said, and the government was judged incompetent. The Labour Prime Minister, James Callaghan, was upended in 1979, after a winter when huge public sector strikes left corpses unburied and rats in the street. It is impossible to predict the convergence that leads to collapse. When Mrs. Thatcher saw the revolt in her party coming over her perceived arrogance and, perhaps most damaging, her pursuit of a local poll tax that ignited revolt from suburb to glen, she seemed flummoxed by the loss of control. Politics entered one of those febrile nervous phases in which events seem to be moving towards some momentous but unknowable climax almost independent of the wishes of the actors, she wrote in her memoir, The Downing Street Years. As for Mr. Blair, many in his party seem ready to write his political obituary and stake their future on Gordon Brown, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who was the Prime Minister's intellectual partner in reinventing Labour. But there is also strong political betting that Mr. Blair will not disappear in a puff of backroom parliamentary smoke. One reason is Mr. Blair himself, a skilled politician with the chameleon-like qualities of his old mentor, Bill Clinton, to triangulate, adapt, and position himself just above the map coordinates where the national psyche is anchored. Even if he does survive, the prospect of a scorching political verdict ringing out from the Royal Courts of Justice this week demonstrates how British leaders without fixed terms, and ever dependent on the shifting loyalties within their party, and the vagaries of public opinion are never as far from the abyss as they would like, or make themselves out to be.